After the death of David, you can imagine the challenge of poor Shlomo. You know, here he is. He's all of, how old did we say he was? 14. Want to come over here? Yeah. Oh, he's all of 13 or 14, right? And he's got a whole country to lead. And his father upped and appointed him king, and then was not nice to die, nice enough to die on him. Okay, so you can imagine what was the reaction and the response of the people of the country to the reign of Shlomo. You know, there's always this initial excitement. The king picked a successor, Mazel Tov. But then you know, when reality sets in, you say, you know, and the king is dead. So as long as David is alive and, you know, everything's going good, then fine. And once the king is dead, and people begin to wonder, what do we get ourselves into? You know, here we elected a president who's only 14. What's going to happen to our country? And that was a serious issue. Moreover, imagine poor Shlomo, you know, the tremendous pressure he's under, people trying to manipulate him. You know, I remember even when you start a new position, everybody's jockeying for position. You know, everybody wants to get close to the president. Everyone wants to get, you know, get in, get a job, get your patronage. And if it was any different then, you're kidding yourself. You know, who's going to be the head of the army, and who's going to be the postmaster, and who's going to, you know, all these things. You know, it was one thing for David, but who's going to be the new guy? And what if you make an unpopular choice? You know, and people aren't going to be happy with that. So all of these issues are issues that poor Shlomo has to deal with. A lot of them, we don't really see ourselves. Nonetheless, we know that they must be there. So we're on Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bet Yud Aleph. What page is it on?
20.
Okay. Vayamim asher malach David al Yisrael 40 shana bechevron malach 40 shana. Chevron malach 7 shanim, ubiyerushalayim malach 33 shanim. So David was the king on Israel 40 years, and Chevron was the king for 7 years, and Yerushalayim was the king for 33 years, total of 40. Shlomo yasher v'akisei David aviv. Shlomo, you know, he rose up to the throne of David. Vatikon malchuto ma'od. And his kingdom was Vatikon, was correct. Yud Gimel. So I think we did that. We spoke about what Vatikon Malchuto Ma'od means. We mentioned the fact that it refers to the fact that while David had to fight his entire life in order to protect his kingdom, Shlomo, on the other hand, enjoyed a level of sort of tranquility and peace. And when you have peace, then you can have prosperity. If you don't have any peace, ain't got no prosperity. Father Gimel. Vayabo Adoniyahu ben Chagit. El Batsheva Ein Shlomo, Batomer Hashalom Bo'echa. So remember, who is Adoniah? When did we meet Adoniah? Just to remind you.
King Adoniah.
Well,
he wanted to be.
Wannabe Adoniah. Okay, so Adoniah, one day he's walking along and he comes to visit Batsheva. Who's Batsheva?
His mother.
Whose mother?
No, it's not.
Well, it's his stepmother.
Shlomo's not his stepmother. Shlomo's mother. Okay, so he bumps into the king's mother. She says, "How's everything?" Vayomer Shalom. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Everything's wonderful. Vayomer Davar Li Elayich. Vatomer Daber. He says, "But I have something I wanted to discuss with you." And she says, "Okay, tell me, what's it? You know, what's the problem?" Vayomer, he says, "At yodat ki li haita hamalucha." You know that the kingdom was mine. And the Jewish people really, they look to me to be the king. You know, what could you do? I had it, I lost it. It's all from the Bnei Shalom. You know, nowadays, what would we say? It's all bashert. I lost it, I had it, I lost it. No, what can you do? But, Sheila achat anochi shoel miitach. I just would like one little thing. Al tashivi et panai, meaning al tashivi et panai means do not return my face, meaning I'm just asking for one thing. Please don't say no. You know, by the way, anytime somebody asks you for something and they don't tell you what it is and they ask you to say yes before you know what it is.
It's dangerous.
Right. In general, the rule
someone
is,
says, can you do me a favor?
first you should...
No, could you do me a favor? Isn't so bad.
Oh, no?
If I say, Harry, could you do me a favor? And if you would be so kind, promise me you'll do it. Right, exactly. You're saying, you know, promise me you'll do it?
No.
No, I'm not. No, thank
you. But he's also bringing up, you know, I had it and I lost it. So sort of the pity factor, maybe, you know.
Make her feel sorry.
I had it, I lost it. But he doesn't say I had it. He said, I had it. And all the people really wanted me. You know, they really wanted me. Okay?
But Hashem gave it to the other one.
Vatomer elav daber. And she says to him, speak. Meaning, it's unclear. Does she say to him, okay? Or does she say to him,
what is it?
What do you want?
Right.
I mean, I took the daber to mean, okay, whatever you want. You know, we'll see. Vayomer. He said, "Im now Shlomo HaMelech, ki lo yashiv et panayach." Say to Shlomo, the king, "Ki lo yashiv et panayach," because he won't say no to you. V'yitam li et Avishag asher nami l'isha. He said, "I fell in love with." Oh, he didn't say that. He said, "I'd like Avishag as a wife." Everybody remember who Avishag was? Sheila, you remember who Avishag is? So you'll remember when the king, right? When the king. Correct. He did not marry her. When the king couldn't get warm, so they hired a beautiful woman, a nice, young, nubile woman, to warm him up, and that's what she did. The king did not marry her. So Adonijah says, you know, I really want Avishag. Maybe sort of a, we'll call her a consolation prize. I couldn't have what I wanted. Couldn't get the kingdom. At least could I have Avishag. Okay?
But what does happen to her after David dies? She just hangs around.
You must have those ladies in the court there.
Right, well, it's
she's
a very
in a room.
Interesting
room
question, room. Right? She is not marriageable to anyone else, really.
Okay.
Right, because the way the Mepharshim say it, the scepter of the king may not be waved by anyone other than the king. So she's almost like too holy or you know, set aside to actually marry somebody else. So it's like a sad thing that would happen to Avishag. She's been appropriated for the kingdom, for the king, and now she's designated to a life of spinsterhood in a sense because no king anymore.
Can't she be married to Solomon?
Yes. That he put in theory. But we don't ever have any record of her doing that. Okay. But I don't know if they were so concerned about these things back then. You know, what happens to Avishag? What happens to Avishag? To be honest with you, she lives a good life in the palace of the king, right? Which is better than all of her contemporaries, probably. Okay. Batama Batseva, Yudchet. Tov, good idea. Anochi Adaber Alecha El HaMelech. I'll tell the king. Sounds like a good idea. Poor Avishag, whatever, why not?
Why does he have to ask permission?
Why does he have to ask permission? Remember what I just said about Avishag. Avishag HaShunamit is the property of the king.
Okay. Oh, so it's not.
Right. So he said, do me a favor, go to Shlomo, and if he doesn't mind releasing her, I want to marry her. So the mother of the king goes to the king, and this is a very nice imagery. The king stands up and he bows down to her. He sits down. Meaning, you could imagine in the king's chamber, here the king is sitting, right? Where were all the other seats in the room? There were no other seats in the room. You understand? The king sits, everyone else stands. Right? That's just the way it is. You don't sit in front of the king because you stand at attention. So, but what the king did is he said, go, get a seat for my mother. The mother of the king sits next to the king and says she can talk to him. And that's the imagery is a very beautiful image, a sense of kibud ein, that he's, you know, giving his mother deference and respect. Fine. So he says to her, "Vatomer she'elach hakdana anochi she'elet nitach." I said, one, you know, like you can just hear, she says, one little thing, one small question. Al tashev et panai. So what does she say?
Same thing.
What Adonijah said to her, she says to Shlomo, Mom, whatever you want, I'm not going to say no. So it's interesting, by the way, when Adonijah asks her, she says, what do you want? When she asks Shlomo, he says, whatever you want. Okay, now we'll see in a second. Right. Matomer, Yutanet Avishaga Shunamina Adonyahu Achicha Alisha. Yeah, what's a big deal? Do me a favor. Let Adonyahu have a consolation prize. Let her have Avishaga Shunamina for a wife. Vayan Havelach Shlomo Vayomer. The Imo. Shlomo answers and says to his mother, Velama Anso Elet at Avishaga Shunamina Adonyahu. Why do you want to give Avishag? Ushali lo et hamalucha. Why don't you just give him the whole kingdom while you're at it? Ki hu achi agadol mimeni. He is my elder brother. Velo Avyatar HaKohen uYoab ben Tzruya. And to him, and to Avyatar HaKohen, and to Yoab ben Tzruya. Why is David getting so upset about this issue?
Shlomo,
I'm sorry. Why is Shlomo so upset about Avishag HaShunami?
He probably understands what he's doing.
But what does Adonijah
request mean?
What does it mean? Good.
It means I get the king's concubine.
Yeah. So what?
I'm
right.
Equivalent of being king.
Okay. And therefore.
And I'm the older brother.
Right. So here's my question: what in the world is Bathsheba thinking?
She's not.
Well, you could say that. You could say that Bathsheba is naive and that she's simplistic. There's only one problem with that. Who's the one that got Shlomo to be the king in the first place?
She did. That's a biggie for her son to get a son.
Who's the prophet?
Who?
Prophet's son, right?
Who was the prophet helped her? He helped her, but
she told you to go.
No, but she went. She remembered. Bathsheba was the one. I think she was the one that initiated, isn't it? Yeah. One second.
No.
The prophet came because he said, "Go."
No, you're right. All right, you want to say that maybe she's
so just, you know.
It sounds like a good idea, whatever. I thought maybe I could suggest something else. I thought perhaps you could say that in reality, she's concerned about the well-being of her son. And here he is, and she understands that Adonijah has not claims necessarily, but he has supporters. And so Adonijah says, I don't want to be king anymore. Look at what Adonijah says. He says, you know, I was the king, and I was going to, they all wanted me, but the way Adonijah says, he almost says it like, Kine Hashem Haitazot. It was all Bashert. So he's saying, I don't want to be king anymore. You know, it's not in the cards anymore, and I'm happy with that. All I want is Avishag. And so she sees this as her opportunity to get Adonijah out of the picture. If I make him happy, then he's out of the picture, and everything's going to be okay.
Strange way to get him out of the picture.
So that's what Shlomo says. Now, what does it mean? Excuse me. What does it mean when it says, look at the end of Pasuk Chabet. It says, below ul Avyatar HaKohen ul Yoav ben Tzruya. Now, who is Avyatar HaKohen and Yoav ben Tzruya? How did they tie it into the picture?
They were behind the...
Right. They were the backers. They were the political backers of Adonijah. Now, it is interesting. I don't know. Are you following what's going on in Pakistan nowadays, today?
Yes. It's very dangerous.
It's an unbelievable thing because, right, because you see this guy, he's General Musharraf. Is he the president or is he the head of the army?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, he's,
when he became president, he refused to give up his position as head of the army.
Right. And so if you have, who is Yoav ben Tzruya?
He's
Yoav is the head of the general.
He was the head of the army.
Yoav was the chief of the army. Right? And who is Abiatar HaKohen? What does he want to be?
He would be the religious.
The head cleric. I don't know who that cleric is in Pakistan, whether Musharraf has him.
I don't know.
You know, but it's so tenuous. What did Musharraf do?
He declares
an emergency because of instability in the country.
And he's creating it.
You know, one could suggest it. Who's to say that he didn't try to kill what's her name?
That was, I mean, we talked, Steve and I talked about that. That's a very different possibility.
You know, the woman, that he didn't try to kill her. You know, and it didn't go so well. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing.
Bhutto.
Yeah, what's her name? Benazir Bhutto. So, and it got me thinking, how hard would it be in this country? Let's say Bush decides, you know, Hillary Clinton wins, or even worse, pick somebody really liberal. You know, John Edwards comes in he says, as soon as I take office, inauguration day, every American troop is going to be out of Iraq. out of Afghanistan, we're pulling them back. And Bush says, you know, I think for the safety of this country and the well-being of this country, I'm not sure I should hand over, we will be a target for terrorism, I'm not sure I should hand over the reins to John Edwards or Hillary Clinton or whoever you want to say.
And because he's commander-in-chief, he can declare martial law.
Right. So what would depend on whether he would succeed in doing that or not?
Oh, Obama?
Right. Did the military listen?
Would the military listen to
it? Would the military listen?
Right now the military is listening.
Right. Right. So, and so you see, Shlomo is in such a precarious position. Who controls the army? Right now?
Yoav.
Yoav is in control of the army. So why are they listening to him? They're listening to Yoav. You know, so Yoav is the piece of the puzzle that it all hinges upon. Who is Yoav behind? Is Yoav Shlomo's man?
No, he's not the man.
Oh, well, what is it? Where is
the party?
He went to the party, right? But now Shlomo's king.
So has he declared loyalty to the king?
In theory, he has, right? But what's he really trying to do? So look at the Targum. The Targum says, why does Shlomo throw in Yoav and Eviatar? All we know is Eviatar asked for this. So why does he throw in Yoav? Why does he throw in Eviatar? Why does he throw in Eviatar? Is what we know is Adoniram asked for it. So if you look, see the Targum. You have a Targum? You guys have Targum?
No.
Oh, you don't have Targum? So the Targum says, when he says, he's my older brother. Arehu achi kashishmini. He's my older brother. That's what he has. Then he has the following. Halo be'etza. It was an etza. In on the plan, he says, habuhu, him, the Eviatar Kahana, the Yoav and Tzeruiah. He says, I know who's been planning this. I know who's engineering. Here, you think Adoniyahu is acting alone? It's Adoniyahu and Yoav ben Tzeruiah and Eviatar HaKohen. Those three guys, they figure they're on the outs. They're no longer in power. What's the way they can get power back?
Make him king.
Hire their man, make him king, and then say goodbye to Shlomo. And what's interesting is, what does the whole thing hinge on?
Whether Adoniyahu actually gets
Abishag. Isn't it amazing? I mean, tell me how many times that this happened in history, that the whole thing hinges on
a woman.
Right, a woman.
Helen, Shilafon.
What? Shilafon.
That's what
you speak.
I didn't hear you. French.
Yeah. I didn't know you're speaking French. I'm trying to understand what you're
saying.
But it's so true. Shlomo is not stupid. He's absolutely correct. He says if Abishag goes to Adoniyah, that's another notch in his belt. And so this is an attempt, an underhanded attempt, a backhanded attempt to overthrow the king. It's the first step in overthrowing the king. Oh, look, he has Abishag. So not only was he king, he now has the former wife of the king. These things are important to people. Right? He's following the footsteps of that.
Hillary, wife of the king.
What?
And Hillary, wife of the king.
Yes, all that experience she has. Okay. So what did David say? Chav Gimel, Bayishava HaMelech Shlomo. David Shlomo says, I'm still working on David. We've been speaking about David for so many months. Bayishava HaMelech Shlomo Ba'ashem Le'mor. So he took an oath to God. So I swear to God, basically. So says God, so shall God say. Kibanafsho Dibir Adoniyahu et Hadavar Hazeh. Adoniyahu has spoken for his life. That's the last. That's it. Vyata. Because remember, Adoniyahu already begged for his life and he swore allegiance to Shlomo. And now to do this, that's it. Vyata, Pasuk of David. Chai Hashem, as God lives. Asher hechinani v'yoshivani al kisei David avi. He has placed me and prepared me on the seat of my father David. V'asher asali bayit kasher diber, who has made me this house. Ki ayom yumat Adoniyahu. Adoniyahu, done. Goodbye. He's dead. V'yishlach amel Shlomo b'yad b'nayahu ben yoyada. V'yifgabo v'yamot. He says, hey b'nayahu, go kill him. And he kills him. And he's dead. That's it. You know, and right? And there is a certain level of decisiveness that Shlomo shows. You could have seen Shlomo saying, well, I don't know. But I think Shlomo realizes at this juncture, if I don't quell this now,
It'll be following me forever.
And it will blow out of control. Because you see these guys, if I give them, it's another opportunity. If I give them that another opportunity, that'll be the end.
But didn't he learn that from his father? Didn't his father...
For Yoav, his father didn't tell him anything about Adoniah.
No, but, I mean, from example, didn't David keep somebody around?
Shimi he kept around.
That,
Shimi,
that hurt him afterwards?
Shimi ben Gera.
Yeah.
Right, but remember, at the end of his life, David said, oh, take care of Yoav, take care of Shimi. Take care of him. Okay, so what does he do with the other two... the other two musketeers in this mini rebellion. Well, Eviatar HaKohen Amar HaMelech. So what does he say to Eviatar, the Kohen who's involved?
Go away.
Anatot. He calls him Anatot. Who else had the name Anatot? Who was from Anatot? Wasn't Eliyahu from Anatot? So it's a big debate. What does it mean, Anatot? Some suggest that Eviatar was from the city of Anatot. But the Zohar says, that's not possible. Why? Because Eviatar, really, he was with David from the very beginning. When was he David? Where was he from, Eviatar? He was from a city called Nov. What happened to the city of Nov? Anybody remember? No, nobody remembers what happened to Nov, the city of the Kohanim? Right, by... By whom? Right, by Shaul. Two kings before. So Eviatar, since the slaughter of the kings of the Kohanim at Nov, Eviatar always stuck with David. So Eviatar had an allegiance to his father, so he doesn't want a king, but he calls him Anatot. Anatot, Rashi says, is a place. Others say no. Anatot is from the idea, the meaning of aniyut, poverty. You're nothing, you're gone. Lech al shadecha. Go home. Ish mavet atar, because you're a dead man. Ubayom hazel lo amitecha. But I'm not going to kill you. Why? Ki nasata et aron Hashem Elokim mitnei David avi. You carry the aron of God before my father David. Vechi hitanita b'chol asher hitana avi. He says, I can't kill you. Why?
You suffered
with my father. When my father was on the run for so many years, you were with him. So it's that allegiance to him. Excuse me. It's that allegiance to him that I'm going to repay now. And how am I going to repay it?
Let you live.
I'm not going to kill you. But I don't want to see you ever again. Go home. Okay. Vayigarish Shlomo et Aviatar miyot Kohen Hashem. Shlomo exiled, banished Aviatar from being a Kohen. L'malei dvar Hashem asher diber al beit Eli b'shilo. This is going to take you back. Does anybody remember what Eli's sons did? This we learned in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. You weren't here. In Shmuel Aleph, we learned that Eli's sons, they, to some degree, it's unclear how, they abused the right of their priesthood, and their father never rebuked them. So the house of Eli was always destined. The promise was, you guys are, the house of Eli is going to suffer. It's going to be a degraded and a lower house. They're not going to have any rights, any elevation, any exaltation in their priesthood. So at some point it had to be fulfilled. So the Navi said, the author of the Navi saying that this prophecy, this promise to Eli, or this curse on Eli, is starting to be fulfilled now, because what's Shlomo about to do? He's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is finally established, then the curse of the house of Eli is finally put into place, and Eviatar is banished, and from then on, all the children of Eli are gone. Pasuk Chavchet. V'hashmu'a ba'a ad Yoav. And Yoav heard what happened, so what does Yoav know?
He starts to shake.
What?
I think he starts to shake.
Yeah, right. Yoav nata acharei Adoniah v'acharei Avshalom lo nata. For Yoav followed Adoniah, but he did not follow Avshalom. Vayanas Yoav el ohel Hashem. So Yoav runs into the sanctuary of God. Vayichazek b'karnot hamizbeach. Sounds familiar? Who did this the last time?
Adoniah
did it. And what did Shlomo say? Shlomo said, come down, I'm not going to kill you. Relax. You promise I'll be good? Yes, I promise I'll be good. Was he good?
No.
So Yoav runs to the mizbeach, the altar. He's clinging for dear life onto the Mizbeach. What is unusual about that pasuk that seems out of place or superfluous? Read the pasuk and tell me what's unusual or unnecessary.
Saying that he had sided with Adonijah?
No. Well, we know. Why is he running away? He's running away because he sided with Adonijah. He's running away for that reason. That's legitimate. That's important information. What's unimportant?
Acharei Avshalom.
Right. Acharei Avshalom. Yoav didn't follow Avshalom. We know that already. Right. So, what in the world is he telling me? Why does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with the story here? Anyone? Let's look at Rashi. So Rashi, and I'm going to show you the midrash based on Rashi. See Rashi ki Yoav nata acharei Adonijah acharei Avshalom lo nata sof davar. Bless you. Sof davar means in the end. Of our vacation in tot.
Means what?
In the end.
Oh.
But he wanted to. Meaning, when Absalom rebelled against his father, Yoav did not follow Absalom. But he really wanted to. So why didn't he? Ela nikyare sh'adayin lachluchit shel David kayemet. He was afraid. Maybe David is still, he's got something left in the tank. And did David have something left in the tank?
Mm-hmm.
He did. So let me read you. I'm going to read you. There's a beautiful, a powerful midrash, a story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is from my nifty Navi midrash book, which is wonderful. You know, I like midrash. So this is what the Rashi is based on. Rashi, the Gemara says the following. Achyuha le-Yoav. They brought Yoav in for a judgment. They called him in. Amalei Shlomo said, my time akatalt le la'amasa. Remember Amasa, who was the brother of Ebiatar, and David made him the king, David made him the general over Yoav. So Yoav didn't like that, so what did he do? He killed him. Oh, yeah, we're there. Remember Yoav killed Amasa? Remember he bent down to tie his shoe, grabbed his beard. So he says, Amasa, what? Don't get me wrong, but all these wars, this biblical period is an incredibly bloody period. Incredibly bloody period. Amasa Mori, B'machasava, Amasa, he didn't follow the king's instructions. Why? Because when David said, go round up the army, to let's get rid of those rabble-rousers, right? Amalei Amasama Amasa, Achim V'rakim Darash, Amasa stalled. We learned this in, you vaguely remember, in Shmuel. Amasa figured, Ashkechidu Yisrael depachnu b'nesechta. He went, and he found all the yeshiva boys learning. Right? Amar Balili says, any person who's, you know, Yachol Afilu Divrei Torah, could it be that if a person is learning, I should interrupt his learning to go fight? Talmud Omar, Rachazak V'yamatz. So the king said to Amasa, go round up the army. Amasa said, I can't round up the army. Why? You're learning in yeshiva. So when Amasa delayed, he rebelled against the king. He's worth, and I killed him for it. You know, now, why did you ever really kill Amasa?
Because he was a bugger.
Because Amasa got his job. Because he was demoted, and Amasa got his job. Fine. So, it says, Ela Hahu Gavra. So it's interesting, he says, someone said, Amasa wasn't rebelling against the king. You were rebelling against the king. Why? Because it says, Yoav nata acharei Adonijah, Yoav follow Adonijah in our pasuk, v'acharei Avshalom lo nata. But he did not follow Avshalom. What does it mean, lo nata? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, shebikesh lintot v'lo nata. He wanted to rebel against David, but he didn't do it in the end. You know, when Absalom rose up in power, so Yoav was like, what do I do? Do I follow the new guy? Right, when Musharraf declares martial law, so who really determines whether there's a what is it called, a coup? I don't know what you want to call it.
Well,
or not. Who determines? Not Musharraf.
No.
Who?
The one who's the head of the army.
His generals. Right,
and
there's a moment in time where the generals either say, Musharraf, we're with you, or the generals say, Mr. Musharraf, that is not going to happen.
Unfortunately, they're going with him.
Musharraf was a general in the army. Right? That's the danger of having a general who's a president. Why? Because he controls the army and the political spheres. That's the danger.
He was asked to step down, you know, as head of the army.
Bush asked him. The Supreme Court asked him, and he said,
"No,
I'm okay.
I'm going to stick with it."
Right. So Yoav, when Absalom rose to power, Yoav said, Absalom, David. It wasn't as if Yoav said, the king is the king. God appointed the king. Yechi Melech David Lalan Vayet. Yoav said, And what was the deciding factor for Yoav? What was the deciding factor? Who to follow?
It just says,
David kayemet. David is still a little stronger. Meaning, if you knew David in his youth, what attracted Yoav to David was power, strength. Remember, Yoav is the man of the army. We talked about Yoav, I think, to some degree. It should ring a bell a little bit. I keep saying that. I'll stop bothering you. Okay. I'm hoping we get something out there. Okay.
A lot of something.
Yoav, remember, was attracted. He felt that the greatness of the Jewish people lied in its strength, and that he was the best person to be the representative of the strength of the Jewish people. So here, when David was strong, if David was still going to be strong, I'll pick him. So now, who's going to be the king? David dies. Who does David pick?
Shlomo.
Who's the stronger candidate?
Adoniah.
Right, Shlomo, remember, it's not just that Shlomo is a boy. What kind of country does Shlomo ultimately build? How does Shlomo develop the land and the kingdom of Israel?
Through peace.
Peace.
And prosperity.
And diplomacy.
And of course, the military doesn't have a big part.
Right. Does that sound familiar? I mean, this very debate goes on nowadays, right? You know, I was watching on the Fox News this morning. They're talking about Democrats versus the Republicans, and so basically, the Democrat says 70% of the American people do not want, the last thing they want is another war with Iran. They don't want another war. And all the Republicans are going to do are beat the war drums, and they're going to get us into another war. We need to talk to Iran. And the Republican gets along and says, nobody wants war. We didn't ask for it. You know, who wants war? But you got to do what you got to do. So this is the debate to this very day. Yoav says, I got to pick Adoniah, I got to pick Shlomo. Shlomo is the boy of peace. Well, how do I know he's the boy of peace? How do I know he's the peace boy?
That's prophecy.
More than that.
Oh, excuse me.
What's his name?
Shalom.
He's a peaceful.
Shalom,
right? Shlomo. That's his name. Shalom Hashem. Is that what the Jewish people need now? No, we need strength. We've got enemies. We've got to show our enemies who's in charge, and they'll respect us. And that's the only answer. And he's not going to do that. So I pick Adoniah. So Shlomo says to Yoav, Amasa rebelled against the king? That's how you excuse murdering him? Because he got your job? Give me a break. You had no allegiance to the king. You only had allegiance to your idea of what's best. That's not allegiance at all. That's allegiance to whom? To yourself. Right. You are the worst rebel of them all. Murray the Malchus, right? And you have the chutzpah to go and suggest that the person you murdered was guilty of something that you yourself are guilty of worse than anyone. Right. That's a powerful discussion. You know, I've heard that, and what did he do?
Went running
to the Mizbeach. He goes running. That's exactly what he does. He runs to the Mizbeach. It's a very interesting discussion, and also a very fascinating response. You're telling me that he was the one who rebelled. You're worse than anyone. And by the way, and we can see that a Yoav is dangerous. And that's exactly the point. There's a time for a Yoav. Sometimes you need a Yoav. But if you think that the only thing a country needs is its general and its military, right? Countries that live in perpetual military states they never prosper. They can never develop. They're always on wartime footing. I mean, between you and me, America does that. America's very guilty of that. Right? We feel that, yeah, we spend an inordinate, an obscene amount of money on defense for almost no reason. Between the years of, I'm sorry, between the years of when the fall of the Iron Curtain and 2001, who are our enemies? Why do we need to have a standing army of like 500,000 people to fight on two fronts? Sometimes because the thing becomes an animal in and of itself that needs to be fed.
Well, this is like what's going on in the Sudan, the warring tribes.
Right.
And the people are being killed and slaughtered and starved. And
the irony is,
and the war goes on.
Right, and the irony is what happens is, almost in a sense, that institutions or militaries become self-fulfilling. Right? Why do we need to fight a war? We need to fight a war because if we don't, we won't need an army.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very cynical way of looking at things. But there's a mentality to that. Yoav is a military man. We need a military. Yeah, but if we need a military, then we're going to have to fight somebody too. You know, I always find it fascinating that the issues that Shlomo deals with, these are our issues. These are constant issues. They don't change. But the challenges remain the same. Yes, sir. You had a comment. You had a question? No?
Just like all institutions are like this.
Right. Right. I mean, there's a big danger in saying, well, we have to perpetuate what we have. Well, why do we have to perpetuate what we have? It's not working anymore. Because we have it.
You may need a different army now, but now it's maybe more dangerous than before.
Yeah. Okay. So he grabs on. So that's why Yoav runs away. He runs away because Shlomo says you're a dead man. Okay, fine. He's running, holding on to
going me. Going to the Ohel Hashem, you would be killed in the Ohel Hashem. Is that the point of
Let's see.
Running there?
No. Unfortunately for Yoav, no.
Is that what people think? Nobody's going to kill you.
Well, the question is, why does Yoav grab onto the altar?
Because it saved Adonijah at the time.
It did not save Adonijah. Well,
yes, it did.
Maybe because it worked. See, here's the problem. Yoav knows. I mean, Yoav, remember, is not just the army general. He was also the head of the Sanhedrin. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. You know, we don't think about that. We think about a general being some secular guy. These generals, they were knowledgeable. So he knew the following. He knew that the Mizbeach wouldn't help him.
And why
don't you? Yeah, so the Radak says, it's almost like, it's interesting. It's unclear why he went. Maybe he was hoping that Shlomo would know. And halachically, he knew that there's no prohibition of killing someone who's hanging on to the Mizbeach. So you are. See you later. You know, and moreover, let's say he's hanging on to the Mizbeach. They can't drag him down.
Of course they can.
You know, like, it's impossible to control him. It's a very strange question. The Radak says, ironically, he says, that's exactly what Shlomo was waiting for. Because there's no proof that Yoav rebelled. So as soon as Yoav runs to the Mizbeach and hangs on for dear life,
it shows he's guilty.
Correct. It shows he's guilty.
It's sort of like...
And that's what Shlomo's looking for. Ah! You are in on it! Now I'm going to kill you. Right, if Yoav had just sort of... I don't know what you mean. No, I don't know what you mean. I was just sitting here at Starbucks having a conversation with Adonijah. He made that up on his own. Because of Radak, then Shlomo wouldn't have been able to do anything. But because Yoav himself, it's almost like if you ever like you're running from the scene of a crime, right? The best thing that you can do is
stop and
stop,
turn around.
Start walking. Because they're looking for the guy running from the scene of the crime.
Whenever they say someone is charged with something and runs away, it's the assumption of guilt.
Right. So that's exactly what the Radak says.
Except for
Except for OJ, right.
Oh, right.
No, we presumed him guilty, but in the end, we were wrong. He was really innocent.
Right. We're looking for the real guilt.
He was tried for a jury of his peers. Exactly. Okay. Right. He was driving a white Bronco. He wasn't running away. Okay. Followed by 8 police guys. But anyway, okay. So, Pasuk Chavteh. Vayugad l'melech Shlomo. It was told to Shlomo. Kinas Yoav el Ohel Hashem. Yoav ran away. V'hinei eitzel ha'mizbeach. And behold, there he is. So someone said, kill him.
Who is this guy, by the way, who he keeps saying?
The Nayav ben Yehoyada is going to be Shlomo's right-hand man. His chief of staff.
So he's
right. The Nayav ben Yehoyada is on the rise. Okay? Benayahu is a very beautiful name. I don't know anybody, nobody uses that name anymore, Benayahu.
Yeah.
But Benayahu ben Yehoyada was Shlomo's, his chief, his right-hand man.
Save it for your next son.
What?
Save it for your next son.
Whatever, Brother Shalom. Is it his name? Benayahu?
I think so.
Benayahu?
Different?
Yeah. Yehoyada is also a nice name. All these beautiful biblical names. So he comes into the, you know, it's like a little crazy. He comes into the it's the Mishkan, the movable Mishkan. Hey, Yoav, come on out. I ain't coming out. No way. Yashab ben Yehoyada melech gabar lemor. Kodi ber Yoav. I asked him to come out so I could kill him properly, and he wouldn't come out, and I don't want to defile the temple. I don't care. Kill him on the spot. He says it's not just that. Yoav has blood on his hands. And as long as I let him live, the blood on his hands are on our hands. So he's hanging on to the Mizbeach. Good, he'll hang on while we kill him. And he should have the blood on his head, back on his head for what he did. Asher pagabi shnei anashim tzadikim betovim imenu. He killed two righteous people. And he killed them, and my father was innocent. He didn't know. He killed Abner, remember, in the rebellion of Ishbosheth, and he killed Amasa after the rebellion of Absalom. And each time he did it for his own benefit, and my father didn't have anything to do with it. And now I need to get rid of him to show that we didn't have anything to do with it, that we don't hold responsibility, right? And to show also that that kind of behavior would be unacceptable in my kingdom. Because as long as you let that happen, what's going to happen? As long as that behavior exists,
other people
do it. My father didn't do something about it, and I am going to do something about it to show that we take no responsibility for that behavior, that action. He will be responsible. His children will hold responsibility. And to David and to my family and to my descendants, God won't come after us and say. And there is a notion, by the way, of familial responsibility. Remember, when David wronged the people, the descendants of the Gibeonim. Remember, when Saul wronged them, their descendants were held responsible. Remember how many of Saul's descendants were strung up because they mistreated the Gibeonim? And now, so who's going to be responsible for the blood of Amasa and for the blood of Abner if I don't avenge their death? Now, this idea, by the way, of responsibility is very, it's foreign to us. But we don't live in such a murderous time.
The question that I know we talked about 2 weeks ago was, why didn't David take care of all of these things?
I think David was too politically weak to do it.
This is all his problem that Shlomo's sort of taking care of.
Well, we did discuss why didn't David do it and why does he tell Shlomo too? Right? You know, I think that when Shlomo starts again, Yoav controlled the army in David's time. But now that David is dead and Shlomo took over, so you see this Benayahu ben Yehoyada rising up, and Yoav no longer holds the same.
But it's kind of ironic in this kingdom of peace. He's already killed off two people.
I didn't kill him yet. Only one so far.
Well,
he's about to kill him.
We're assuming.
By the end of the page, another one is dead.
Okay, we'll kill him now. Vayal Benayahu ben Yehoyada vayivgabo vayimiteum vayikaver bebeitovim midbar. Killed him, and he was buried in his house in the desert. So, well, what's the answer to your question, Harriet? Yes. The man of peace.
He had to do it.
Right.
In order to establish a
correct
peaceful kingdom.
Correct. If you, very often, this is the opposite lesson. People say, no, like, I love running through honey in the woods. such a beautiful neighborhood, but you,
beautiful neighborhood.
You run through Huntington Woods, and I'm running and running. So many houses, no war! No war! Rah, 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 no war!
Also, get, save the golf course.
Yes, right. Save the golf course, of course. So that's more important. What do you mean, no, war under any circumstances? No war? You mean World War II wasn't justified?
Of course.
The war on terror is not justified? There are people that believe violence begets violence, and any type of violence is inappropriate. Right? This is the big drumbeat nowadays, and it's a terrible thing that the Democratic senators are doing. It's politics. I'm not picking just on the Democrats. People don't like when they do that.
It is.
It's politics.
People have their
hands. We want this, the Attorney General nominee, to declare once and for all, we don't believe in torture. No torture. Never, 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 never. Nobody likes torture. Nobody wants to be someone who's going to do that. But what if it would save 100,000 American lives? What if somebody planted a nuclear weapon, God forbid?
That's why.
24.
Did you watch that?
Oh, I love 24.
You love 24?
That's why
he saves the country by torturing
right.
When and getting the information.
Right, but that's the point. In a reality, though, you have to allow for that. You don't, just don't talk about it. Yes, we are against torture, and it can only, and we never use torture. That's all. We never, never use torture. The United States is a country that does not torture people.
It uses benign, integrity.
Except if we had to.
Techniques.
I often think, Laura Lado, so maybe the CIA feels, maybe we do too good a job. Let a couple small terrorist actions get through, and then they'll get whatever they want. Then there'll be a groundswell in this country that, the CIA can do whatever it wants and make the most powerful people in the country. But because they do their job well, and there hasn't been a terrorist attack in 6 years, so everybody says, oh, we don't want the CIA to be too powerful.
Right.
And so what the answer to your question is, that's exactly the point.
It had to be done.
It had to be done. Because if he didn't do it now...
A little ironic.
If he didn't kill Yoav now, think about it.
Right.
If Yoav hadn't died then...
He's the head of the army.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews would be dead later on.
Right.
Because what Yoav would have done would have been rebelled. And then you'd have Yoav and Ebiatar and Adoniah against Shlomo and Benayahu and all those guys. And what do you have?
Internal.
My favorite topic. Civil war.
Civil war.
And it does, it could have hinged on that. So what's better? Two guys at the beginning? Or 200,000 at the end.
Just a little,
No, like...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got a copy of those DVDs. Is it Ken Burns' DVD series on the Civil War? So I'll be now peppering little references to it. As we go on. Yes.
No, like Russians, communists, when they took power, they killed entire families.
Communist revolution? Oh, they killed millions!
Right, later, but they killed entire family,
right.
Of his children, right?
Right.
That's what...
Because
the
there's nobody left.
He said, we don't want anyone to come late and say, I'm from this family.
Right. Men, women, children.
You can argue, of course.
That's the one. Those communists, those poor, benevolent communists. Okay. ויתן המלך למד היי, ויתן המלך בנהיה ביהודה תחתיו על הצבא, וצדוק הכהן נתן המלך תחת אביתר. He hires his replacements. Benayahu is in charge. Tzadok HaKohen. Vayishlach HaMelech vayikra l'Shimi. Let's finish up. I want to finish the pack. So there's one more topic, one more issue for David to discuss, for Shlomo to take care of. He calls Shimi. What does Shimi do? Anybody remember what Shimi Ben-Gera did? Shimi Ben-Gera. Come on, Shimi Ben-Gera. I'm not going to say it rings a bell. Do you remember? Yes, he's the one that cursed out David, and then he swore, he apologized, and David said, I won't kill you. But then remember, at the end of his life, David said, remember that guy Shimi? I'm not saying kill him, but take care of him.
Oh,
right. Remember that guy. Okay. So he calls Shimi, and he says, B'nei lecha bayit b'Yerushalayim, b'yashavta sham, v'lo teitei misham ana v'ana. I want to keep my eye on you. You stay in Yerushalayim. Haya b'yom zeitcha, v'avarta ad nachal kidron. If you pass the valley of Kidron, Nachal Kidron, Wadi Kidron, Yadoa Teda Kimot Tamud Damcha Yevroshecha. Now, does the king have a right to make that rule?
Sure.
If you cross the 39th parallel, I'll kill you. Can the king make that rule?
Sure he can.
Why not?
Of course.
Vayomer Shimi LaMelech, Do Adavar Gasher Divar Adonai HaMelech, Ken Asa Avdecha, No problem. Vayasef Shimi B'Yerushalayim, Yamin Mamin. Okay? Well, build a house in Yerushalayim, everybody's happy. Vayhi Niketz Shalosh Shanim. 3 years later, Vayibrachu Shnei Avadim L'Shimi El Achiz Ben Macham El Gat. So Shimi's two slaves run away. Yagidu l'shimi le'mor, hinei abdecha begat. So they tell Shimi, we caught your slaves. Vayakav Shimi, vayachavosh et chamaro. Vayelech gata el achish d'bakesh et avadav. Vayelech Shimi, vayaveh et avadav migat. So what does Shimi do?
He gets a slave.
He goes and he gets his slaves. Now, I don't have the answer to this question. What is he, nuts? Is he crazy? I mean, you know, like the king said, don't go there. And what does he do?
He goes.
He goes. Now, by the way, what's interesting is, what does he do it for? What motivates him?
To retrieve slaves.
So what's it about?
Money.
It is unbelievable. He's got explicit instruction, life or death of the king. And he says, yeah, I got you, queen, no problem. He loses two slaves, and he gets killed for it. I haven't seen anybody talk about, if you come across anything, maybe this girl said something, what in the world is Shimi thinking? He says he's not. Maybe the king forgot. He's got other things on his mind. I don't know.
And who's going to tell him?
Well, nobody would notice.
Right. I'll tell you a story. I went once with Rena. It was a Sunday night. We went out for dinner, and I said, oh, it was like 4 months after Spider-Man came out. I said, oh, I want to go see Spider-Man. It's Sunday night. We go to this movie theater in Birmingham. It's like 8:30. Nobody's in the movie theater. We get there. We sit down. Fine. At the end of the movie, we look up when the lights come on. Four members of Young Israel of Southfield sitting behind me. Rabbi, good to see you. And it was then I said, Rina, I can never, ever, ever do anything and expect that people won't know about it. Now, by the way, you should just know, it's an incredibly powerful impetus to be a good, to do good things. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody's watching you. If you know everybody was watching you, if you knew somebody would, you know, tell your boss or tell your congregation or tell your community, ooh, did you hear, you know, Jane Smith went to Long John Silver's? Yeah, but you think we hide under the shroud of anonymity. Anyway. You're supposed to know that God is watching you.
But it helps if you make
it. Oh, sure. That always helps. Anyway. So, by you got the Shlomo, Memalach ki halach shimi mishlan gat, by Yashav, so he heard that he did that. By Shach HaMalach, by Yikar HaShimi, by Yomar Elav, hey! Hello, Ishbi Atichu Ba'ashem! I took an oath to God, right? Bechalemor, and I took an oath saying, by Yom Seidcha, by Halach Da Ana, by Ana, Yadu Atadach, Yibol Tamut, I told you I'd kill you. And you said, yeah, okay, king, whatever. Why didn't you listen? What are you doing? You know why I did this. You know, I wanted to have you killed. But I was looking for an excuse to have you killed, but I wasn't going to do it. I was going to give you a chance. And so what did you do? You blew it. You're responsible, not me. And I want a bracha. Like you say, David, what you did was unacceptable. What you did was unthinkable. The reason my father didn't kill you was because it wasn't the right time. It was a time for reunification. But what you did was beyond the pale. And now you're going to pay for it. Tells me, yeah, but you say, but you've got both by your moat. See you later. Hamacha, mamacha, nechona, b'yad Shlomo, and the kingdom was nachon, was correct, was erect, was upright in the hands of Shlomo. Meaning Shlomo was correct.
Tied up loose ends.
Three dead.
What? Three dead?
Tied up.
No, but that's it.
But the kingdom is saved.
Sometimes some decisive action in the beginning saves you a lot of agmas nefesh later on. I think that's always a good, you know.
The same with raising children.
Yeah, well,
and then your rules ahead, and yeah, it saves you a lot of
right. Really interesting right. And, you know, and you have to pick your battles carefully, but sometimes a careful argument or fight or dispute at the beginning sets the tone for things later on. You know, like, they say that in teaching also. You walk into a classroom, right? You set the tone. Because otherwise, if you don't set the tone, 2 months later, you start kicking kids out, you're done. But if you set it early, you're set. And it's a good rule in general. So. Okay, we'll start and continue next week.
What precipitated all this killing was a seemingly innocuous question by...
Just can I have Avisad? Yeah. It ain't, it was no innocuous question. Not innocuous at all.